Come on. Amen. Good job. Let's give them all a round of applause once again. Amen. Amen. What a beautiful, beautiful thing to see the youth participating. As we constantly say, they're not just the future, they're the now. So we're thankful to be able to see that visible demonstration of the future right now. Amen. Amen. Hold on a second. I don't know. I love Christmas, first of all. I love this season. And I was thinking about the title for today, and it was, 'Twas the Week Before Christmas. 'Twas a week before Christmas in lands far and wide, the world prepared for a holy and wondrous tide. The stars softly twinkled, the moonlight aglow, as tales of old scriptures began to bestow. In humble abodes, families gathered near, with hearts full of hope and joy in the air. They read of a tale of a manger so low, where a baby was born, a heavenly show. Mary and Joseph, they traveled afar, guided by faith, led by Bethlehem's star. No room in the inn, yet a stable would be the birthplace of Jesus, so grand and so free. The angels above in chorus they sang, announcing the shepherds the glorious thing. Fear not, they proclaimed, good news we bring forth, for in Bethlehem town a Savior comes forth. The wise men, they journeyed, following the light, bearing gifts for the child in the silent night, gold, frankincense, myrrh, treasures to impart, honoring the King with pureness of heart. So in this blessed week, let's ponder the grace, embracing the love in this sacred space. For Christmas draws near, a time to rejoice in the miracle of Christ with a heavenly voice. May kindness and peace in our hearts brightly gleam as we celebrate the birth of this glorious theme. 'Twas the week before Christmas, a tale so divine. May God's love in our lives everlasting shine. Amen. Amen. If you have your Bibles this morning, I want you to come with me to Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. And if you don't have your Bibles, luckily it's right there on the screen. Amen. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Let us pray. Father in heaven, thank you for this day. Thank you for this time together in your word. Thank you for your love, your grace, and your mercy, and all the ways that you sustain us. Each day you give us new hope, a new purpose, new opportunities, Lord. And we just pray that we might open our eyes to the many opportunities that are before us, especially the path that leads to everlasting life with you. Help us, Lord, if we find that we're not walking on that path, that we haven't made that decision for you. Lord, I pray that someone today, even this morning, might make a decision for you to walk with you for the rest of their lives and to allow you to be their King, their God. Lord, all of us who've already are rejoicing in this, Lord, help us as we continually march towards Zion, as that eternal Zion, Lord, that we might continually be anticipating that time of rejoicing and reigning with you forevermore. Thank you, Lord, for this day. Bless it and bless all of us that are here, gathered here in person as well as online, and those that would be listening to the broadcast. Also, Lord, allow your word to minister to each of us in a mighty way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I remember, you know, right now, Christmas for me isn't really about me, you know, it's about the kids. And I remember being, as a child, the anticipation of the gifts, Christmas gifts under the tree. You know, one of the things that it teaches you, Christmas time teaches you, is perseverance. Looking at that gift knowing it's got your name on it, but you can't open it yet. You don't know what's inside of it yet. And you know, oftentimes, I don't know about you guys, but we would count down the days, 45 days for Christmas, right? 30 days before Christmas. And it's like the closer you start getting to it, the more anxiety you start getting, the more it seemed like those presents are talking to you. Yeah, okay, all right, some of y'all with me. You know the journey I'm going on. And it's talking to you like, Mom won't know if you just take a little peek, you know what I'm saying? You know? And some of y'all got halos. Okay, all right. I'm gonna talk to some of us over here then, all right? Sometimes I'd get down there and there are no kids here, right? I don't wanna corrupt any minds here, right? There's a couple, tell them to close their ears. We'd get down and we'd pull the tape and try our very best and hope that it would not rip, you know. Well, I'm not gonna give you the tip on how to really do it. But you'd get it off, and then you just get a little glimpse. Just a little glimpse. At least that's all I needed. Just a little glimpse. I remember seeing Atari one time. Woo! Atari system back in the day. Oh man, y'all don't know nothing about that. Okay. All right. But for us, that was whoa, big stuff. And put the tape back on there, and then you pretend like you don't know anything at all. Whoa, Mom, thank you, right? And anybody else have that experience? Because I feel like I'm just talking about myself. Okay, all right. There's a couple of y'all, a few of y'all, all right. Well, I'm thinking about Christmas. As we're thinking about Christmas, I want us to think about that time of expectation, that time of waiting for something. You know, the Israelites were waiting on Messiah for so many years. There was the scriptures were telling about Messiah who's coming, and yet, you know, you couldn't see it sometimes, couldn't feel it sometimes. And they were hoping and they were waiting for Messiah to finally come. You know, Isaiah 40:31 gives us 3,000 years ago, listen to this, those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. You know, this was a time where they were already in Babylonian captivity. They were awaiting God to release them and to give them their freedom from this Babylonian captivity. And yet, Isaiah, in the midst of all of this that's going on, is pointing to them to a time in the future that would allow them to help them in their presence. You see, because if you can't see something in the future that's coming that's better than where you are right now, then that doesn't really help you in the moment. But what he's doing is trying to allow them to see, to get the eyes of their minds open to see into the future how God is going to provide for them and bless them in certain ways. And also that even in this moment that they're in right now, that he's going to give you strength to continue to carry on. God, he says, those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. Now, I want you to understand this. Hoping in the Lord doesn't necessarily mean that he's fixing the situation completely right now in the present. This is something I am anticipating that is coming in the future, but because of that anticipation, because of what will come, it's helping me in my present moment at this time. You know, some people, and unfortunately, we're looking at our list, and it seems to grow larger and larger. Cancer has been devastating so many of our families. And yet, as bad as cancer is, there are a lot of treatments, a lot of remedies, a lot of treatments for it, but the treatments themselves are painful. But even in the midst of that pain, there's a sense of hope that if I get through this, if I get through this on the other side, I can be able to hear you're in remission, or I can be able to hear that it's all been taken care of, it's gone. See, you're going through the pain, but you're anticipating something better on the other side of it. It's just like childbirth. You understand the pain of childbirth, but you understand also the joy and jubilation that comes when that child finally is brought forth into this world. And the world has been waiting for Jesus. The beautiful thing is understanding this hope. It's not just wishful thinking. You know, there are some that believe hope is just wishful thinking. Man, I hope I will be the president of the United States. I hope I'm going to win a million, billion, trillion, quadrillion dollars. I hope. I mean, it's not just wishful thinking. We actually have evidence, proof of what we're hoping in when we hope in Jesus Christ. You know, look at Hebrews 11:1. Faith is what? The substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, I want you to listen to that. The evidence of things not seen doesn't mean there's no evidence. It just means I can't see it clearly. Let me put it like this. There's so much circumstantial evidence, though. You know, you go to court. I don't have to have an eyewitness testimony that I saw him do it, and I saw him raise the knife, or I saw him, whatever the thing is. I don't want to put too many images in your mind. We're here in the service this morning. But whatever it is, I saw him do it. Right? You don't always need that. Sometimes it's circumstantial evidence. Well, GPS says you left at this time. It said you were right in the vicinity where it happened. Right? Your fingerprints are on this, that. You see what I'm saying? There's enough evidence to convict you in a court of law. But there wasn't the direct testimony, you know, the direct evidence that actually saw you do it, or video evidence that saw you actually do it. As we look at this, we're looking at a God who has made himself known to all mankind. How can we see? Look at creation. Romans 1 tells us all we have to do is look up and look at creation. And creation alone should point us to say that there is a God. It should drive us off. How did we get here? I mean, you know, if we're looking at science, you know, every action, there's an equal reaction. You know, we can't have a person and a being without someone who created this being. So that begs the question, right? The sun, the moon, the stars, the sky, you know, where did it all come from? And I love the psalm that our brother read in Psalm 148, and because that's what it's saying. Praise God, what? Everything. Really, you might as well just say that. Praise God, who? Everyone and everything. Why? Because God created everyone and everything. And because of that, he's worthy to be praised by all, because he created all. And the foundation of our very faith is hope that there's something more than what's here, than the sufferings of this present time. Then the chaos that we see is we turn on the news and you see all sorts of things, people hurting people killing people hating people, you know, doing the worst of things to one another. And we look at this world and go, how? I mean, did it even get any worse? And unfortunately, it does. It waxes worse and worse. And yet, as bad as that situation is, there's something greater that's coming. And that's the hope that we need to hold on to, that something greater is coming. Look at this hope. Abraham had this type of hope. God first of all told him to leave a country to a place that, you know, that he was going to show him. And then he makes him the seed promise that through him all the nations will be blessed through his lineage. And really, even through that lineage, where Jesus Christ is connected into his whole thing. But in Abraham, he was waiting for his son. He was waiting for the promised son to come. And if we really look at his story, that waiting hurt. The waiting was mixed with anticipation, but also frustration. Frustration that sometimes, God, you're not coming as quick as I come, Lord. And we see Abraham and Sarah diverting and going a different way than God intended, because they couldn't wait. They still didn't frustrate God's plan. God's plan, you know, that's a beautiful thing. We cannot frustrate God's plan. And yet, and so his humanity shines through, but yet God's faithfulness continues to shine through also. And then, of course, the Israelites awaiting Messiah, awaiting Messiah. And as they're waiting Messiah, there's confusion that's still there. Even among the disciples, they still didn't understand Jesus. They still didn't understand his kingdom. They were even walking with Jesus. And still, as they were walking with Jesus, beholding the miracles that he was doing, there's still some confusion. We see some confusion even in John the Baptist. Is he the one? Or shall we wait on another? We see his disciples, confusion. You know, who's going to sit on your right hand and who's going to sit on your left hand as you bring in your kingdom? They still thought that he was coming to establish an earthly kingdom in this world. But obviously we know that that wasn't what he came to establish. He wasn't coming to bring the Jewish nation back into prominence, you know, world domination and all that. No, my kingdom is not of this world. He came to establish a spiritual kingdom. And so they awaited, and yet even in the wait, even in the confusion and all that, Jesus Christ comes. I want us to think of something, because we find ourselves in a waiting period even right now. Even right now, we're waiting. You know, we're celebrating Jesus' birth. It's the fulfillment of the ancient prophecies, but also there's something that happened that after Jesus comes, you know, I like to say this, the miracle of Jesus' birth is spectacular. But without his death and resurrection, you know, it loses its power. And in his birth, his life, his death, his resurrection. Remember when Jesus left? Let me read this. Acts chapter 1. Run with me to Acts chapter 1. Down let's look at verse 6. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? Look at this. Still asking questions that weren't real, you know, that didn't line up to what Jesus' mission really was. Verse 7, he says, and he said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and all the ends of the earth. Now when this he had spoken these things while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men by them in white apparel, who also said, men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will also come in the manner as you saw him go into heaven. And they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey. Why do you stand gazing heaven? The same Jesus who was taken up into heaven will also come in like manner as you saw him go. You see, this is sharing with us that Jesus' purpose wasn't just in coming in this beautiful, the birth and the miracle of this birth. And we'll talk more about the miracle of his birth on next week. But I want you to see that we're right now in this holding period right now. We're right now anticipating his return. We're anticipating a new creation. We're anticipating something completely new when Jesus comes for each and every one of us. And in this time of waiting right now, I want you to see how similar it is that there's confusion sometimes. There's pain that's associated with it. And we're waiting for something sometimes. How do I put this? God knows the time and we don't, and that's so challenging. Listen, I'd like to say that, you know, every day on this side of life is sunshine and rainbows, and that I don't ever think about, you know, that time that we're going to be with the Lord. You know, I think about it sometimes. What's the glory of what we're going to receive when the Lord comes, especially knowing the pain that is associated here on this earth? You know, when you get sick and you don't feel well, it's like, oh Lord, when are you coming? When certain events happen in our life, we start contrasting it with this hope of something that is greater and better than what we're enduring right now. Listen, in what we have to endure right now. And it's not always easy thing to go through. You know, it's like the labor pains. Some days it's good, and some days, leave me alone. Don't talk to me. I want a phone call. I want nothing. Just let me be for a while. And in those moments, it's like, well, for the Christian, there's hope beyond the moment. There's hope that there is something greater than the pain that you're experiencing right now. And for me, that's what gives you strength to continue going on. I just finished two pretty big things. I mean, most of you already know I got through finally my master's of divinity degree, and I'm going to be waiting now just the graduation date, but all the requirements, everything is done. And you know what a relief that is now? It's like, I can breathe a little more. Thank you. I didn't say that for the clap, but thank you anyway. But it's the relief that comes when it's finally over. And I'm going to tell you something, because I was blessed with a great scholarship that I just said, I can't not take advantage of this. They pretty much paid for my master's degree, and the church paid for the other part, the smaller portion of that. I couldn't. And I want to tell you that there were about five other preachers and people that I know that I said, hey, look at this program. Look at this opportunity. And there were a couple that started, but I was the only one of the group that I know of that finished. And I want to tell you, I'm not saying that to put kudos. I'm saying that to say it was tough. Mentally, it's tough. It's like you see this goal, and in order to get to it, you got to endure some things along the way, and life happens along the way. But there was a hope that at the end of the tunnel, you know, at the end, I'm going to receive something. I'm going to receive something greater than the suffering that I had to put in, the nights I had to put in order to get that. And that's what keeps you moving, and that's what keeps you going, the hope of receiving something greater. And that's the hope we have here. God has something greater in store for each and every one of us. And I know sometimes life hurts, and sometimes life gets rough, and sometimes it's confusion in the waiting period. But just remember the reward. That'll give you the strength to continue going on. See, here are a few anchors for our souls, for hope. You know, first of all, prayer and scripture. Scripture is filled with hope. Hope in the midst of struggle. You know, you look at the book of Revelation. I share this with you guys often, because oftentimes it's such a misunderstood book. But one of the purposes of the book of Revelation is hope. Hope. Look at what you're going to receive. You know, we look at the heaven. We look at how the splendor and the majesty and how beautiful heaven is from John's perspective, from his point of view, being able to see heavens and the jasper walls and gold and all of the beauty and splendor that you see that is put there. That's the best that he could do in human terms, and things that we could understand. And that tells us that heaven is even more glorious and beautiful than even the greatest of these things that we can imagine here on this earth. But it was written to give hope to those who are being killed for Christ, to those that were being thrown into lions' dens, to those that were tarred, to those that were attached, that one part of their body was attached to chariots, and they would take chariots and they would go in two opposite directions. See, these are the people that he's writing to, people that were in severe persecution for serving the Christ, the same Christ, the same God that we serve. And he's saying, look, be faithful unto death, and you shall receive this crown of life. You know, oftentimes when we read it, we're thinking, be thou faithful to death. Well, just come on to church every Sunday. Just, check off that we came and that we did this or we did that. And, you know, and I'm not saying there's nothing wrong with that. This is what we ought to be doing. But the context of what he's really writing to them goes far beyond coming to church. Be faithful to death until death, because death was a possibility or maybe even a probability for many of them. Be faithful in this suffering, and you're going to receive a crown of life. Scriptures, and prayer, they aid us and they help us. And then, of course, a community, us coming together as a family. Let's not provoke, you know, we come together to provoke one another into love and to good works. We come to be a community together, to serve God together, to help each other when you're down. And when you're hurting, and when I'm hurting and I'm down, we need one another to pick each other up. Woe to the man who falls and is alone, right? Or he has no one to pick him up. Right? But here we find in the community a band of brothers and sisters, a family of God to come to encourage one another. And then, of course, we have these great examples. I'm going to go to Romans 5 for a moment. I'm actually going to just start from verse 1. It says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into his grace in which we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings perseverance. Perseverance, character. Character, hope. Now, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who he has given us. For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Amen. Here it's sharing with us that we have this access by faith into this grace in which we stand right now, and we're rejoicing in the hope of the glory of God. Not only that, he says, but also the glory in tribulations. Even in these tribulations, we're praising God in the midst of the struggle. You're praising God in the midst of it once again, because there's an anticipation of a payoff that's greater than the suffering that you're going to have to endure right now. The payoff is greater. You go to school, there's going to be a payoff greater. You invest in certain things, there may be a payoff that's greater. Right? You invest in your kids. Whoo! Oh, Lord, help us. Hopefully, there is a payoff that's greater than the investment. And in this case, there's a payoff that's going to be so much greater. It's a hope, it says, that does not disappoint. Why? Because the love of God has been poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit who is given for us. It cannot disappoint. You know, there are sometimes I'm hoping for something, and let's I'm gonna just use the Atari thing there because I've done this myself. I put in, because I knew me, you know, I remember myself. So sometimes I will put things in the box that isn't really what's in the box. I gave the kids got a little something. Now the parents got a little something. All right. You put it in something. Did I say cereal box? Did someone say cereal box? Oh, I thought I heard something. But you put it in a different box. PS5. Woo, and the kids are like, yay. And it's a sweater. Okay. That's a disappointing hope. God, that's not what he does for us. He's not building us up into something and preparing us for something that's going to, he's going to let us down, that finally when we get there, we're going to, but this is what heaven's all about. I should live my life. No, ain't nobody going to say that. It's even more glorious than we can even imagine. And so we pray that the Lord helps us in this hope, helps us to endure and wait for his final coming. We're finding ourselves right now in that place. As we read earlier, men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing? This same Jesus who was taken up from you in heaven, he's coming back. Just like he left. This is the Domingo Reyes version. He's coming back. He's coming back. And because we know he's coming back, this is your time to prepare. Because here's the thing, we know he's coming back. We know he's coming back, but we don't know when. And so because we don't know when, because, you know, as Jesus said, the thief comes at night. Something's missing there. Anyway, the thief comes at night. That's what he said. I just know there's something missing from the verbiage there. He doesn't announce himself. The Lord shall come as a thief in the night. There we go. There we go. It just popped in there. The Lord shall come as a thief in the night. The thief doesn't say, hey, I'm coming. At 3 o'clock, I'll be at your house. And at 4, I'll be at yours. No. Comes when he's unexpected. When it's dark and it's darkness of night, when no one knows and things are quiet and all that, that's when the Lord's going to come. So we're not, you know, I know you on TV, you see the prophecies, and some people believe somehow that they figured the Bible code out and the Lord's going to come in this year and all that. Baloney, baloney. Oscar Mayer Brand, too. Yeah. Jesus said he didn't even know. So how dare someone, a mere man, come and say he knows the day when the Lord's going to come? No. The Lord's going to come, you know when? When he's ready to come. He's not announcing it. And because of that, this is important. That means we always need to be ready. We've got to be ready. Hold on. That might be a sign right now. Right now. No, I'm just kidding. Be ye ready. Get ready. All right, I'm not going to be able to finish now. Get ready. And this is your time. God desires to bring all into his fold. He desires that all would repent. He desires all to be saved. He desires that you would make a decision for him. If you're ready to make a decision for Jesus Christ, this is the simple message. Jesus came. He died. He was buried. And he rose on the third day according to the scriptures. That's a simple message called the gospel. That's what the disciples were told to go preach. Preach the gospel to all creation. When they were told to preach this message to all. And maybe there's someone here who's heard this message and believes it. Peter, on the day of Pentecost, we see him preaching this message. He said, look, he told the crowd that was there, you with your wicked hands, you crucified the Son of God. He said, but it was impossible that the grave should hold him. And so he's talking about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And after he talks about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, there were people in the audience that threw this question at him. Men and brethren, what shall we do? All right. It says they were pricked in their hearts. Verse 37, Acts 2:37. They were pricked in their hearts. They were convicted by the message that he was saying, that they were sharing with them, this gospel message that he was sharing with them. And it caused them to ask this question, what shall we do? And I love those questions. Because this is an opportunity to say, to show, here's what the Lord said. Here's what Peter said to them. Here's what Paul says. Here's what Jesus himself said about this. Peter tells them, repent. What does that mean? Turn. Turn from your way of living. You know, I like to call it complete surrender. Surrender, giving up. Look, I give up. I surrender to you, Lord. And no longer am I mine, I'm yours. I'm placing myself at your feet. Repent, he says, and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, he says, this promise is for you. All who are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And it says that same day, about 3,000, and they only counted the men, so we know there's more than that. About 3,000 were baptized on that same day. Well, I don't even see 3,000 in attendance here, but maybe there's one. Maybe there's more than one that's ready, that the message has hit you and you've heard it enough, and this is a beautiful opportunity. 'Twas the week before Christmas. You can have your Christmas gift today. You can be free in him today. If you're ready to obey Jesus in baptism, won't you come and submit to him in water baptism? And at that time, just like Peter said, at that time you're going to receive forgiveness of sins. Your sins will be washed away. And the Holy Spirit will come and dwell in you. If you're ready to make that decision, we're ready. Water's ready, clothes is ready, angels in heaven are ready, God is ready, all things are ready. If you're ready, won't you come right now as we stand and we sing the song of invitation?